if I had an assistant, they would have remembered to do that. Now we are recording. So first of all, we've got all these open centers, and they're problematic because they put a lot of pressure on us to do things. Not necessarily important pressure. We don't have to do this stuff. It's just pressure. So when we have an open head, we've got all this pressure to get answers, to figure out stuff, and we can get overwhelmed with a lot of thinking and a lot of ideas. Well, you've got to remember that those ideas are often coming to you from outside sources. They are not yours. And you want to start learning to discern when somebody else's ideas are invading you and you're spending time answering questions that aren't even yours. So if anybody thinks that that sounds like familiar, then be aware that it's because you've got that open center and all those ideas are coming up and you are under pressure to answer questions, to come up with ideas, but they are not necessarily your questions to answer. So as a reflector, turn it off if you can. Know that you're around people, you're going to be invaded with a bunch of ideas that are not yours. Got it? Okay, I'm assuming you got it. You do not need to act on them. Just because you have an idea does not mean motivated to act. You have an open throat. You can't initiate very well. So don't try to just jump in just because the idea shows up. The other thing you've got is an open anja. This is a pairing with the open head. You've still got a lot of ideas that are coming in. And again, it's pressure to be certain about things. Well, the problem with having an open anja is that we can be really clear about something one moment, and then the next 10 minutes later, we are unclear about it. It's difficult for us to hold a vision sometimes over long term. It keeps shifting, keeps changing. We think that the prize is a job for, you know, X number of dollars a year. And then the next month, our vision and the prize is having plenty of time to live on a beach. So it can be really different, and it's hard for us to hold the same idea for a really long time because of that open anja. So if that sounds familiar, it's okay. It's just part of your nature. The open throat makes it very difficult for us to start things. We often need to be invited to talk or to share an idea. And then it's fabulous because we end up pulling in all of the energy of the people around us. We start speaking for the room. So if you've ever been in a public speaking environment or been asked to share something in a group, you will find that what the words that come out of your mouth are the same ideas that everybody else in that room is thinking. That open head is bringing in all their ideas. You're speaking for the room. So you have this really, really good ability to be a spokesperson, but you need to be asked to do it because it's difficult for you to just jump in there. The open throat wants to blurt stuff out all the time. I'm terrible about this. I just start rattling away. I'm really clever and funny sometimes, and I can make cracks and be witty and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just blurting stuff out. It's not very polite. I can get kind of obnoxious sometimes. So be aware that the open throat wants to just be recognized. It's under pressure to be recognized. And sometimes we choose inappropriate ways to get recognized, which might be making cracks, being sarcastic, jumping in conversations that you have not been invited to join in. Sometimes just being noticed, like acting out physically in ways that get attention. Hey, look at me, kind of stuff. That's an open throat, okay? Your open will center, you are under pressure to prove yourself. So reflectors, all these open centers, you are under pressure to figure things out. You're under pressure to get answers. You're under pressure to get recognized, and then you're under pressure to prove yourself. So we have got a lot of pressure on us. Anybody feel like that sounds familiar? Do I see any yeses or nos? Am I just, is there anybody out there? I'm just jammering away. Hello? I'm not getting any responses. Okay, well, this is being recorded. You can do it. You can look at it later. I have so many ideas. How do I find out which one's mine? Very good question, Patrick. Let me get to that in a few moments. Okay, let me finish going through all these open centers, and then we'll look at some particulars. The open spleen, this is the condition called hoarding. With the open spleen, we have a tendency to hang on to things for a really, really long time, longer than is appropriate. And I'm guilty of this in different areas of my life. But they could be things like stuff, like books from your college, you know, courses that are now 25 years out of date. It could be photographs from your your prom. I don't know. It could be stuff that you've just held onto it just because it's stuff. And your open spleen likes to hang on to things. They can be physical things, or they could be emotional things. They can be stories that you have been telling yourself for your lifetime that you have been hanging on to. It doesn't mean that they're not useful or not valuable. It's just that there's a tendency to hang on to them longer than is useful. So if you know that you've got rooms or closets or storage units or boxes that have been put away and you just haven't really gotten around to getting rid of them, think about them from that perspective, that you've just been holding on to stuff that you don't need. And the thing about the universe and the energy about circulation is that once you get rid of stuff and create a vacuum, new stuff comes in. So if you have a story around a certain t-shirt or sweatshirt, and it's a good story, then maybe you want to keep it. If it's a bad story, ditch it. If you've got stuff that's been sitting around for a really long time and you haven't been using it, it was an idea you had at one time and thought, well, that would be really cool. The first thing I would ask is, was it your idea or was it someone else's? If you got stuff sitting, this is answer might help with you, Patrick. If you got stuff sitting around and you have ideas and projects and things that you started and that you have lost interest in, it's a very good chance that you picked up the idea around that from someone else. It was their enthusiasm that infected you and got you to jump in and do something. And then later on, when you settled out and you weren't around them anymore, their influence was gone. If any of you have ever gone to one of those self-help or motivational talks, and the guys get up there and they talk about how great they are and just do it and go over and, you know, you can do this just like me. Well, but chances are really good that they're manifesting generators or manifestors, and they can just go do stuff. And the rest of us can't do that, especially reflectors. If we're just not going to do that the way they do it. So if you've got ideas and stuff that have been sitting around and projects that you think at one time were really enthusiastic about, or maybe you spent a lot of money on or something like that, but they are just languishing, good chances are you just got infected by somebody else's enthusiasm and you jumped on board and thought that their enthusiasm was yours. So that's about, where was I? That was spleen. Okay, so getting rid of stuff that doesn't serve you anymore. Take a look at things that you've got around you that are based on an idea that sounded really good at the time, and just do check in. Don't make yourself wrong about any of this stuff, because part of our experience is to sample a lot of things. So the fact that you might have jumped on board and tried something out is not a bad thing. It's just one of those things that did happen. Solar plexus is open. We are under pressure to be nice. How many of you are really nice? I'm so nice. I'm doing this. We are under pressure to be really nice, and we tend to avoid conflict. We will abdicate our own feelings and our own rights and our own boundaries in order to be nice. I know that this is an issue for a lot of reflectors. We have no barriers. We have no boundaries, and somebody else's need becomes ours to fulfill. It's very easy for us to get into codependent relationships because we feel what they want. We actually anticipate it. Most of us are very intuitive, and we are ahead of the game. We're fixing stuff before it was broken. So be aware that being nice is double-sided. The G center, this is important for you guys, us guys. This is the center of our identity, and because it's wide open, we are chameleons. Our identity is a chameleon, and that's kind of cool. So if you find yourself being a different kind of person in different kinds of environments with different groups of folks, that's absolutely normal for you. You will adapt to whatever your environment is. You will become them. You will speak for them, and you will have their feelings. You will respond and take action like they do. That's reflecting. It can be disconcerting for us because we're trying to figure out who the hell we are and what we're supposed to do, and we're constantly being buffeted by other people's ideas and other people's identities. If you're around someone with defined G center, they know who they are. They are absolutely adamant about who they are and what they're here to do and what they're going to, you know, bringing out to the world, and they are broadcasting that all the time. If you're in their presence, you are getting it, and you're amplifying it, and all of a sudden, you think you are them. I know that sounds familiar to some of you. The sacral. Basically, this is a center of life force, energy, work energy. It's unsustainable. We are not able to maintain energy unless we are around people. And if we are around people with the defined sacral, which is like 67% of the population is some kind of a generator with a defined sacral, we are borrowing or we're drafting their energy and we're amplifying. So we can actually be energizing butters. Oh, dang, my thing says it's going to end in 10 minutes. I can't believe that. So we will draft their energy. We'll amplify it. We can overextend. We don't know when enough is enough. We will hurt ourselves by overextending physically, especially. You've got an energy when you're with them, and then you have that residual energy for another 2 or 3, 4 hours. So be careful when you find yourself physically exerting yourself. You're probably around a generator, and you're probably pulling and drafting and amplifying their energy, and you're going to hurt yourself if you don't know when enough is enough. The root is also in a pressure to finish things. It's just pressure. If you've got a list that's 14 feet long and you've been carrying around things that are for 18 years or whatever, it's still on your to-do list, chances are good that it's not your idea to do. Just dump it. You're under pressure to finish things so you can feel free. But lots of times it's just pressure. The stuff is not that important. So you want to start paring down what's going on and what the demands are that you are making on yourself, because good chances are that a lot of those things are not important. So this was a really fast rundown on these open centers, and I'll send something to you about that. I just sent on the Facebook and also to the emails, for those of you who gave me your email addresses, I sent out links to something called, it's fabulous, Karen Curry gave this out, it's Affirmations for Open Centers. You gotta download that and look at it and read it like in the morning, and you're just going to go, this is going to be really helpful, because it's going to help discharge the alien thinking that's coming in and affecting you. It helps you get centered as to what is yours to think about and to what is yours to feel. So now let me go look at questions, because question now, how to support myself. I got fired. Oh, damn. Or I burned out. Okay, good. I understand. So, Tina, your question is very easy, fast. Let me do that one first. Are we important? Damn right. We're fucking sparkle. We are awesome on this planet, and we've got a really cool thing to do. So, yes, you're very important. To be nice and to feel that everyone should like me, yeah, that's your open solar plexus. Everybody wants to be liked. With us, it's kind of an addiction. We don't know how to not be liked. We will do whatever it takes to be liked, and we can strip ourselves to be liked. So it's okay to be a bitch sometimes. It's all right. If you have to just pull a barrier up and say, no, I'm not going to do that this time, do it. The other thing is, we have our 28-day thing. This is really important. You need language. You need language to avoid committing to stuff that you are not ready to commit to. So when someone comes up with an idea, you have to have your 28 hours, your 28 days, right? So what you do, you say, well, no, that's a really interesting idea. Let me get back to you. Don't commit. Just say, you know, I have to think about this. Don't let them corner you. Just because you want to be nice, don't say yes. You need boundaries. You need to protect yourself. So learn to say no. Even just practice. You say, hey, look, I'm practicing saying no right now. So I'm going to say, I'm not going to do that with you right now. It's my assignment this week is to say no. Okay? So you've got to do that. You will overcommit yourself and you will hurt yourself. Okay, there's that. I lost audio, can't hear Leslie. You know what, Andy? That's going to be okay, because I'm going to archive this and send you a link so you can hear all my wisdom, insights, and brilliance. Okay. Real quick question from Andy. Has to do with your moon phases. I sent another handout for moon phases. For simplicity's sake, it helps me a lot. Work with a moon phase. It keeps me moving momentum-wise and tells me when to stop. For instance, like a new moon is when you start things, okay? That first week after that, you have to push through all the obstacles and get all the questions answered. The following week is a full moon, which is decisions, completions, and fulfillment, which is kind of where you hit your little benchmark and say, oh, that's what I'm aiming for. And then the last week there is a kind of a wrap-up. Let's finish things up and send the stuff out you said you were going to send, blah, blah, blah. Then you come back to your new moon. I sent a link to something called Time is Relative. This is something I wrote up because I thought it was really useful. It's using the lunar phases. It talks about the different phases and how to use it to help gauge your workflow primarily. But because I have a really bad sense of time, it's really wonky, and I needed to have something that would help me stay moving in a logical, structured way, and the moon was pretty, you know, available. Okay, back here, biggest question, can't support myself, got fired basically every job I burned out. Okay, this is a real different kind of issue. Obviously, you weren't in the right kind of work, or you wouldn't have burned out. I would say you entered it incorrectly, because that would cause you to be in the wrong place in the wrong time. And for us, it's really, really critical that we're in the right location. So that's a physical location. And it also has to do with the kind of people you're around. So if you're around highly toxic people, then you're obviously going to find some way of getting out of there, even if it means being fired. So that's kind of a different issue, and it's a little dense for right now. But I totally acknowledge that it's hard, and we all have to make a living somehow. What I would say at this point is to take some time to go back and look at the jobs that you did like, that you really liked, whether you got fired or burned out or not, did you like them? And this is like your meatball, how to get the job of your dream is kind of stuff. Write down the things about it that really, really worked for you. What were the experiences that you liked? Were you working with a lot of people? Were you around animals? Were you outdoors, indoors? What were the tasks you had? Figure out the things that you were doing. Now, the thing about looking for work is we have to be aware of how much energy a job is going to take. If we can't sustain the energy, if we're alone working out of our office, our home, and we don't have people around to help charge our energy, it's going to be difficult. If you're in an environment where you have a lot of people around you, you are probably getting charged, and that's okay. Probably going to be fine. But it takes a lot of effort for us to maintain our energy. It's not sustainable. So the kind of work you do is going to make a big difference. So not just getting a job or preparing for it, but how long, what it's going to take day to day to day to day to day. Be aware that a job that's going to require you to make a lot of really short-term decisions is going to be very stressful on you. You're going to do better in a situation where you have more time to make decisions, create things, plan, strategize, do stuff that is a little bit more, less adrenaline-oriented. Some people thrive on high adrenaline rushes. They love the fast decision. That's your manifestors. They love it. I can't handle it. I tried to do day trading one time, and it was a disaster because I couldn't make decisions fast enough. But I was writing. I was an editor for a bunch of financial magazines, so I knew how to do it. I knew how to understand it, and I could kind of like absorb the energy of the people who were really good at this stuff. But when it came down to me making decisions day to day, moment to moment, hour to hour, I was an abysmal failure. So you can't get something that's going to require you to make a lot of fast decisions all the time. It's just not going to be a good fit for you. So I'm hoping that helps you a little bit. Patrick, there's more that you need to explore on that, and I don't have time to go into it right now because I don't want to run out of time, and this dang thing is going to tell me it's going to kick out. So by the way, if we do go away fast, we'll just reschedule one of these. Maybe we'll do it every week for a little while and kind of till we get everybody kind of kickstarted. Hoping that isn't a bad idea. It says I have a remaining time of 1 minute. Can you believe that? It's going to turn me off. You said I had 40. It's only 9:25. They lied. They said I had 40 minutes. Anyway, so we got through the open sentence. This I'm hoping is going to be helpful to you initially. I'll send something out physically so you can look it over, read it at your leisure, kind of do your own little assessment. For you, Patrick, particularly, I want you to be able to feel more solid, more confident about what you want to do and what is going to be a good fit for you. But most of it's going to have to do with environment. And you're in Taiwan. What brought you there? I'm wondering when this thing's going to turn me up. 20 days from point to point or specific moon. No, it's from the time that... Yeah, indeed. The 28 days counts from the time that the idea was brought to you or you decided to think about it. It could be any place in any time in any of the phases. That's not the core point. The point is that you need these 28 days to think about it and discuss it with other people, with people who you feel could be